All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. And as promised, ESU Freeze is the head coach of the Liberty Flames. They open their season next weekend against Syracuse. He joins us now. Coach Freeze, how you feeling? Thank you for the time.
Man, thanks for having me, Jason and John. It's an honor to be with you. It's obviously an unexpected twist, a week or so ago with this infection I had to my spine, but it was, I'm still battling to get back where I'm full speed, but I'm closer than I was yesterday. That's and good. Therapy's going good, and I'm able to watch practice live right now through at a hotel, believe it or not. Our IT department's incredible, and so I've watched the last three practices and then had my staffs up here to go over the practices and, I think the doctors are going to try to let me go to practice starting Sunday.
Good to hear. So I know, Coach, really you expected this past week to include yourself on the football field, coaching a practice. Instead, what has it been? What has the last week looked like for you?
Well, I really think I've done a good job of leading our staff and continuing to do the same things I've always done with them, even if it was by phone because I was in a hospital bed. But I really struggle, though, right now, in all honesty, to feel good that I'm leading the team well. Now, my assistant coaches will argue with me and tell me I'm doing a good job and all of that. But one of the things that I think I've always had the ability to do is go into games with making a team confident and believing that they're good enough to play on the given night against whatever the opponent is. And right now I don't feel like I've accomplished that. So I've got a lot to make up in the short ground that I have when the doctors do release me to go back. And, I just feel like I've been inadequate with the relational part of coaching with our kids because of the last, 10 days or so. Again, it's been awesome. Our IT people are incredible. Never knew that I could sit in a hotel room in a recliner and watch every angle of every practice from every camera as it's going on. That's been incredible. And I'm on the radio I got a guy down there with the radio that takes it to a person and I can have a conversation with him about what I just saw. And so I think we've made the best of the circumstances for sure, but they're not the ideal ones.
And one of those assistants, if I'm not mistaken, Coach, is old Whitehaven coach Maurice Harris, who's been with you just about everywhere you've been. Is that right, that he's up there with
Absolutely.
You?
Maurice is a dear brother.
Yep.
I love him. And, we were high school coaches together in Memphis and then hired him at Arkansas State when I got the head job there. And he's been with me ever since to Ole Miss. And then, obviously, he chose to come here with me this time to be a co-OC. And Maurice does an incredible job of recruiting, of capturing the hearts and minds of his players. He really genuinely cares, and he's the type of man I want on our staff.
Yeah, man, he was one of the great ones. I remember covering him over Whitehaven. I ask you that to ask you this. I know a guy like that, right, that follows you everywhere, you think a lot of his career, he's leaning on you. But how much have you leaned on him through everything you've been through all these times? Obviously, he's been still right there by your side. How much has he meant to you through all this?
Yeah, it's incredible because, the first phone call, I think probably the only staff meeting I wasn't in was the day I had surgery, and that was, I was kind of out of it that day. But and I remember, after that, and the doctors kind of telling me, this was worse than we thought, and the infection that you had is going to make this recovery a bit more difficult. It's not just a normal back surgery. I remember that next day having the staff and indirectly having the call and just saying, Maurice, you're made for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. And you've been with me everywhere I've been. You know how we operate, and I'm going to need you to step in and for the planning and the entire part of the offense. Ken Austin is a brilliant guy, too, that can help. He's been offensive coordinator, but Maurice has been with me and knows the way I want it done.
Yes, sir.
And I've leaned on him heavily, through all of this.
We are, of course, talking to Hugh Freeze. He's the head coach of the Liberty Flames. They open their season next weekend against Syracuse. Coach, it's your first season back on the sidelines in 3 years. What are the emotions? I know you're not there yet, but I'm sure you've envisioned it. You've thought about it. What are the emotions?
You know, it's this is probably this latest event has really awakened how much I love being with the team, how much I love preparing the team to compete, and it's emotional. You know, I got emotional this morning in our staff meeting just because, you know, tomorrow's our preseason game three, if you will, our mock game, and all the things that you cover in that game to get prepared, and I'm fighting with the doctors. Is there any way possible you're letting me, you know, go to that one? And I don't think I'm going to be able to be there. And it's just so, you know, having been out of it two seasons and now battling this to be there, and I may not even be allowed to be on the sideline. The doctors haven't said yet. They may put me in a press box, but we'll see whatever they say when it comes. But I assure you it will be one emotional night that is filled. It may come across with some tears or things, but I assure you it'll be joy.
Is that when you feel, coaches, when you're on the sideline and coaching guys, is that, you know, we talk about identities, right? In yours being wrapped up sort of now in coaching and sort of the, I guess, the impact that you hope to have on these kids that you're, you know, that are coming up. Is that when you, are those the happiest times for you now, thinking about
it
being
is
on the sideline,
you know,
again?
When you sit back on the last 2 years and you evaluate your life, and, uh-huh. and which I've had plenty of time to do, and you look at the Sugar Bowl win when you're standing on the sideline with your father and Archie Manning, and it doesn't get any better than that. And you got dear friends in Memphis like Sean Toohey and Matt Saunders who've been with me thick and thin through it all. Have made every press conference I've ever had at a new school. They even came to this one. You know, you celebrate all of that, and you also look at the things that, man, what did I not do right, and, right. and what cost me, and what brought pain, and what brought chaos, and it's the times that you've made selfish decisions, and so, man, I've been at the pinnacle of playing in the Sugar Bowl, and obviously I've experienced some very, very lows. And disappointing things that came, either they came into my life or I brought them into my life. And so you examine all those things, and you know you're now at a point with you said a while ago how you define yourself, mm-hmm. and I truly am at a point where you know I do not want it to be the kingdom of me. I want it to be God's kingdom first, and then it to be about other people,
yes, sir.
Our players and our coaches, and how can I make them be better? And that is truly what gives me joy is seeing someone, you know, advance themselves, or seeing someone, you know, overachieve and make a play that maybe they couldn't have made a year ago, or even do something outside of football that get a degree that they didn't think they could accomplish. And so really, I'm at that point in my life where those are the things that drive me, and I will let define me. I really have I failed miserably at a point of falling to the idol of status and other people's opinions, and I'm way past that. And now I just want it to be about other people.
I hear that, man. I absolutely hear that. What do you when we talk about you on the air? One of the things. You know, I say, and typically when we're in any situation where we got to talk about somebody who's had a fall, so that all, you know, we all fall short. But with that said, what do you tell people who come to you, right or wrong, and say, you know, hey, my faith was shaken, Hugh, because of your fall, because of what your actions, your story, my faith.
Yeah.
What do you tell those folks, Coach?
Yeah, the first thing I'm saying is I'm sorry. You know, I apologize that I in any way made you question your faith, or and then I would just take them to stories, real stories of of people that of David and Moses and Joshua and every person and Paul, every person that has ever been a really strong person of faith. There's something in there that they had to battle at some point, and it could have caused them some failures. But I think there's so many things you learn when you fall. Unfortunately, there's a world that we live in that wants to even celebrate people's failures at times, and that's not the way I'm made. Man, I don't wish what I went through on anyone, to have to live your worst moment out on the screen of public opinion. I don't wish that on anyone. And so, I would just take them through the whole scenario of, listen, none of us are perfect. Yeah. And we all have things that I'm sure you have struggled with or have failed, or a poor decision that you made. But thanks to God, that is why I'm a person of faith, is, he doesn't give up on you. You can never be good enough on your best day to earn it. You can never be bad enough on your worst day to lose it. And I think it's about finishing well and not letting I've been very consistent in my life for most of it. And so I'm just determined I'm not going to let this small era in my life, define me. Others may use that to define me, but I certainly don't have to. And the ones that I care about, who are my dear friends and my family and my wife and kids and the team I coach, I care about what they think about me. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm in good standing with them.
What matters.
It is an existential question, certainly, Coach, and you were touched on it, living out, some of your lowest moments in the court of public opinion. Did you find it difficult in those moments to lean on faith? Because I would imagine when you're there, I don't know what you tell yourself. Did you find it difficult at certain junctures?
No, never really questioned my faith at all. I had some honest conversations with God of, why would my worst moment have to go public? And then people get to take whatever they think of it and draw whatever conclusion. And so that made it more difficult on me and my family, especially my kids and wife. And so that was difficult, but never once questioned my faith. Now, did it make me dig in deeper and see, how did I get to that point? Because it became about, a selfishness and the idol of status and those things that came. And, I got back to Mississippi, my home state, and was able to turn that program immediately from no wins in the SEC to going to a bowl game in the first year, the second year, the third year, the fourth year. And to be from there and to care about that place and those people, like I did, It was a battle of ego. It was a battle of your pride, and all of a sudden, you're stepping across a boundary that you never in a million years thought you would. And so all of that, we all are susceptible to the fall, for sure. And I think how you handle that from that point, I think that's what integrity is. Integrity is not always doing the right thing, or none of us would have it. Integrity is when you don't do the right thing, you own it, you accept the consequences, you make the necessary changes, then you play the next play. And that's what I've told every person that has given me an opportunity to talk. That's what I did. That's how I handled it. And I'm thankful and ready to play the next play as Liberty's head coach.
We are, of course, talking to Liberty football coach Hugh Freeze here on the show. Do have to ask you, Coach, because you do know the history, being from Memphis and being around and playing Memphis on certain occasions. Memphis football, two straight conference championship games, could be three straight this season if things break right. Did you ever see this day coming for that program? I mean, I remember the game against Arkansas State. I mean, you blew them out of the water. Did you ever think Memphis was capable of going on a run like this?
Well, thanks for reminding me of that. That was a fun night at Arkansas State, I assure you. had a blast. But, I've always felt like Memphis was a great job. I do. When you think about the group of five schools, immediately you think of Central Florida, South Florida, Houston, Memphis, and Boise State. That's the way my mind thinks anyway, and I would think anyone you talk to, and that's not trying to down anyone else, but if you think about, in group of five schools, you think about the location, you think about facilities and support, those are schools that should be in the mention of being one of the top group of five programs. And, man, give credit to Justin Fuente and now to Norvell and to the administration and to the support. But there's always been players at that area. And there's always been players in the Mississippi JUCOs in those towns that you go in Mississippi and you get a kid that's undeveloped mm-hmm. because you see the potential that he's in. Same way in Louisiana, I think they've done really well of doing good in Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, and obviously there in Tennessee. And, I think that is, it just took someone with the right vision and the right leadership, and obviously I could see it being that, and I'm glad it is for the people there.
Who's going to win that Memphis-Ole Miss game next week, Coach?
You know, I don't know enough about Memphis's defense.
Oh, okay, I got you. I knew you knew the other side inside out.
To really say, I think Ole Miss's defense is going to be better. Mike McIntyre, I think, is one of the best football coaches in the nation. And offensively, I'm uncertain about Ole Miss because I don't think the kids that I recruited most have gone in, with the exception of like Alex Gibbons and maybe a few others. Scotty Phillips, the running back's very good. But I don't know enough about their quarterback situation or their wide receivers to say how good they are. And I know this, Mike Norvell can score points.
All day long.
And he and I have talked ball a lot, and I have great respect for him. And I think it's going to be fun to watch. I'm glad it's an early game because I got a late game. I'll be able to watch it.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I'm praying for your recovery, man. Hey, you still keep up with Michael Orr? I remember he was out defending you.
Absolutely.
Y'all still tight?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Probably my wife's tighter with him than I am.
I got you.
They stay in touch more than I do. But every now and then I'll hear from him, and I'm real proud of his career and how he handled things.
Coach, we appreciate the time, as always.
Thank you for this, brother.
Thank you.
Absolutely, man. Thank you, guys.
Take care, Coach.
He is Liberty coach Hugh Freeze. And listen, people are going to get their jokes out. That's part of it. I think we all took turns, right? And those were actions and decisions that Hugh Freeze made, and he is certainly not a victim in this case, right? We're like, we have to.
Absolutely.
We have to state that. But there is no doubt, I think the point he made about, you know, living out your low moments as publicly as he did, you know, who deserves that?
No, I think that's why I've said it before on this air, and I think you just kind of followed up with it. You find out your most about yourself when it's the down times, either mistakes, right, failures, whatever. It's how in how you bounce back is where you find your true, you know, your true self, and you see what you can really, you know, accomplish, get done. And it's after the fall. It's that come back up where the tough part is, and that's usually where you find out the most about yourself.
Yep, I appreciate how open he is. You know, I would imagine no matter how much time passes, it's never quite something you love talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I appreciate how open he is.
And one thing you asked him, you know, was it difficult to go, you know, sort of to lean on faith when you're at, you know, it's you're being put out there so publicly.
Yeah.
Again, on your own, you know, your own account, your own actions. I imagine that's the only thing he knew.
Yeah.
Was to go back to that book.
Yeah.
And because that's how he was raised. So anyway, appreciate his time. Certainly happy for him in this recovery that this thing wasn't, you know, we're talking potentially life threatening. So